From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And would like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia continues to increase efforts in combating COVID-19. Three domestic companies ready to produce thousands of ventilators. Now the news in details. The Indonesian government confirms its effort in combating the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic at home. This was said by the Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi in a virtual press statement on Thursday in Jakarta. She said, at this time, all countries in the world were facing a health crisis that had never been experienced before. According to her, this challenge has encouraged the Indonesian government to work hard in dealing with domestic conditions in overcoming COVID-19. She stressed, there is no one-size-fits-all countries in dealing with the pandemic. According to her, there is no guarantee that policies in one country can be applied in other countries. However, she said, every country needs to learn from other countries' experiences, best practices, and even learn from the deficiencies of other countries in dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. In this regard, Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi stressed that the Indonesian government continues to increase efforts that can be made in countering the spread of the virus.
The government of Indonesia will spare no effort to scale up, I would like to repeat, to scale up its effort to fight the virus. Every day, we evaluate our policies, try to make them implementable, and give more impact in our fights against the virus. It is not easy, of course, but we will continue to do so. A multi-stakeholders, multi-sectoral, whole of government, and a whole of nation approaches are pursued with maximum effort. Policies adopted by governments are always based on relevant and unique characteristics of a country, whether it's culture, demographic condition, or economy.
Meanwhile, related to international cooperation in handling COVID-19, Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi said that it was necessary to strengthen international cooperation so that people around the world could return to normal life. Related to this, Indonesia had pushed the initiative in the resolution of the UN General Assembly held virtually on April 2, 2020, which encouraged global solidarity to combat COVID-19. She said at present, Indonesia's foreign diplomacy is focusing on efforts to fight the COVID-19 pandemic while protecting both Indonesian citizens abroad and foreign nationals at home.
Indonesia consistently wants to ensure that our containment measure in restricting the movement of people will not disrupt global trade and supply chain, including medical goods and medicines. Like other countries, Indonesia and the world in general is facing shortages in various medical supplies. In this connection, collaboration with other countries is not just necessary, but it is a must.
Meanwhile, related to the protections of citizens, Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi said that every country must open the door for repatriation. She also stressed the importance of implementing health protocols in accordance with World Health Organization standards. Related to this, she said that the Indonesian Minister of Health had issued a protocol for medical evacuation, both for Indonesian people from abroad and for foreigners at home. Three state-owned domestic companies voiced readiness to produce thousands of ventilators deemed necessary for patients exposed to a new type of coronavirus or COVID-19. Head of Presidential Staff Muldoko noted in a written statement in Jakarta that PT Lan Industri, PT Pindad, and PT Dirgantara Indonesia were the strategic industries. It also aligns with President Joko Widodo's instruction to optimize domestic resource in handling the COVID-19 pandemic. The president has also instructed to augment the use of raw material components from within the country. In the meantime, Director of Pharmacy and Medical Services, Supervisors of the Ministry of Health, Sodikin Sadek, stated that currently 18 research teams from ITS, ITB, and UGM were there specifically for ventilators, as well as from LIPI and companies producing medical devices. Some 52,000 tons of garlic imported from China arrived in Indonesia in stages on Thursday to fulfill the domestic requirements. National Police Food Task Force Head Daniel Tahimorang Silitonga stated as quoted by Antara. The additional stock of imported garlic is estimated to lower the market price of garlic currently standing at home 50,000 rupiah per kilogram. The National Police Food Task Force also continued to monitor and oversee the distribution of staples to the market and to consumers to ensure food availability and no supply deficit. The stock of the garlic in the market is guaranteed to suffice until the upcoming Ramadan fasting months and Eid al-Fitri. Indonesia has also imported thousands of tons of onions, or locally called Bombay onions, from several countries to meet the domestic requirements. So far, 6,800 tons of imported onions have arrived. Switzerland will start gradually relaxing from April 27 the drastic restrictions it brought in last month to tackle the spread of the new coronavirus, the government said on Thursday. Hospitals will be allowed to perform all procedures, even elective surgeries, while hair salons, massage parlors, and cosmetic studies will be allowed to reopen. This will be followed by compulsory schools, shops, and markets from May 11. In a third stage, it will reopen secondary school, vocational schools, and universities from June 8. Switzerland death toll from COVID-19 respiratory disease, the virus causes, has risen past 1,000, with nearly 27,000 people testing positive. The rate of infections has slowed in recent days, while the government has come under increasing pressures to reopen businesses which have struggled during the shutdown. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. As COVID-19 continues to spread across the U.S., President Donald Trump has given governors guidance on reopening state economies in the coming months. The guidelines for opening up America again outline three phases in which states can gradually ease their lockdowns. The U.S. has 654,301 confirmed cases and 32,186 deaths due to the virus. Trump has suggested some states could reopen this month. In his daily briefing on Thursday, President Trump declared the next front in the war is opening up America again. He also said that a prolonged lockdown risks inflicting a serious toll on public health. He warned of a sharp rise in drug abuse, alcohol abuse, heart disease, and other physical and mental problems. Trump told reporters that healthy citizens will be able to return to work as conditions allow. He said Americans would continue to be called upon to maintain social distancing measures and to stay home if they are unwell. German Chancellor Angela Merkel's conservative bloc has won support during the coronavirus crisis, hitting its highest level in nearly 3 years, a poll showed on Thursday, April 16. Merkel's cautious approach during the emergency appears to have reaped rewards, as relatively early shutdowns of schools, manufacturers and shops has had some effect and Europe's biggest economy has announced small steps towards a relaxation. The Deutschland Trend poll for ARD Television, Puttmerkel CDU and its Bavarian CESU sister party on 38%. The environmentalist Greens were second of 19% but lost 3 points and fell below 20% for the first time in just over 1 year. A crew of 3 are due to return from the International Space Station early on Friday to a very different planet they left last year. No strangers to isolations, Russian Oleg Skripocha and Jessica Meir from the U.S. left Earth in September 2019, well before COVID-19 emerged. Another American, Andrew Morgan, has been on the ISS since July 2019. The coronavirus pandemic has changed the usual routine for returning space crews. The trio are scheduled to return to Earth at 0500 GMT on Friday, by which time Skripocha and Meir will have spent 205 days in space and Morgan 272 days. The capsule normally lands somewhere in Kazakhstan, then a search team picks up the crew and brings them to the closest airports and they all fly home. This time, Kazakhstan has declared a state of emergency and most of the airports are closed. The search party is currently in strict quarantine and will have to take a test immediately before going out to pick up the arrivals to ensure they cannot be infected. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kosmawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling Preparing for COVID-19 Second Wave. Wuhan has become an open city again after declaring 0% of new COVID-19 viruses. However, latest data shows there are still new cases of corona in China. Some infected people even died in Jia City, Henan. Similar facts have also to be faced by South Korea. After briefly controlling the infection rate with large-scale testing, it was found out that people who had recovered felt recurrence of COVID-19 attack symptoms, plus a number of new cases. Singapore, which was able to suppress the smallest infection rates compared to other Asian countries, now faces an increase in the potential for infection, which is quite high. There are several factors that can be examined from the cases of China, South Korea, and Singapore. China received a number of new cases of coronavirus infection after Wuhan was declared an open city. So when a country reaches the peak of the first corona attack, it seems, after a long pause, a second wave of attacks emerge. According to Diki Budiawan, an Indonesian epidemiologist, doctoral candidate from Griffith University, Australia, the second wave of coronavirus is when an area has reached the peak of coronavirus pressure. Then there is a decrease. After a phase of decreasing numbers of infection, a surge in cases occurs again. Of the second surge, with a rate of 3 to 10% of the population, 90% is the population that has not been exposed before. So referring to it, the condition of each country can be examined. Most countries in the world have not yet reached the peak of COVID-19 outbreak. After that happened, then they must prepare to face the second attack. The journey to deal with this virus still seems to be quite long, due to the potentials for attacks and even to the second wave. Efforts for vaccine discovery are now continuing being carried out by several countries. The world is now waiting anxiously for the result, so that COVID-19 virus can be curbed once and for all. Hopefully, there will be no more infected people or death toll then, and things could return to normal again. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any surfaces that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Welcome back to Today in History. We start from an event on April 17, 1941, Yugoslavia Kingdom surrendered to Germany. Prince Paul of Yugoslavia was forced to sign an agreement on cooperation with the German-Italian-Japanese Axis in the Second World War. However, anti-German Serbs officers rebelled and overthrew Prince Paul's government. Hitler was angry and attacked Yugoslavia. This Balkan country fell down quickly, mainly because many non-Serb ethnic groups joined the invaders. After conquering the country, Hitler divided the country under the Axis occupation and the local puppet regime. Next turn, on April 17, 1960, the establishment of Islamic Students Movement. The Indonesian Islamic Student Movement, PMII, is one of the elements of students who continue to aspire to make Indonesia's future better. This student movement was established on April 17, 1960, against the background of the political situation in the 1960s, which required students to contribute to the social political life in Indonesia. The establishment of PMII was driven by young Nahdlatul Ulama. Among the founders were Mahbub Junaidi and Subhan Z.A., a journalist and legendary politician. The establishment of the Indonesian Islamic Student Movement began with the strong desire of Nahdlatul Ulama students to establish a student organization based on Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah ideology. We end this segment of Today in History with a story on April 17, celebrated as the World Hemophilia Day. Hemophilia is a genetic disorder in the blood caused by a lack of blood clotting factors. This disease causes a slow process of blood clotting when wounded. This situation causes physical disability and leads to death if not or late handled. April 17 was chosen as the date for celebrating World Hemophilia Day since 1989 in honor of the founder of the World Federation of Hemophilia, Frank Schnabel, whose birthday falls on that day. While the World Federation of Hemophilia is an international non-profit organization formed in 1963, with the aim of improving the quality of life for people with hemophilia and other bleeding disorders. Listener, that was Today in History.
Sandiwara ka selama ini, setelah sekian lama kita telah bersama. Inikah akhir cerita cinta yang selalu aku banggakan di depan mereka. Entah di mana ku sembunyikan rasa malu. Oh, kini harus aku lewati sepi hariku tanpa dirimu lagi. Biarkan kini ku berdiri melawan waktu untuk melupakanmu. Walau pedih hati, namun aku bertahan, cerita cinta yang selalu aku banggakan di depan mereka. Entah di mana ku sembunyikan rasa malu. Harus aku lewati sepi hariku tanpa dirimu lagi. Oh, biarkan kini ku berdiri melawan waktu untuk melupakanmu. Walau pedih hati, namun aku bertahan.
Aku lewati
sepi hariku tanpa dirimu lagi. Oh, biarkan kini ku berdiri melawan waktu untuk melupakanmu. Walau pedih hati, namun aku bertahan, yeah.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vnews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia entitled Agriculture Ministry inaugurates 67 farmer ambassadors. The Ministry of Agriculture on Monday, April 13, inaugurated 67 millennial farmer ambassadors and main farmer ambassadors from a number of provinces as an effort to regenerate farmers. Minister of Agriculture Syahrul Yasin Limpo, while watching the virtual inauguration ceremony in Jakarta on Monday, said, when the COVID-19 pandemic is still faced by a number of countries, including Indonesia, agricultural sector is increasingly needed to meet food necessity. Syahrul Yasin Limpo said, the longer the COVID-19 lasts, the more people need agriculture, which is effective, efficient, and transparent agriculture. This can be done through millennial and modern farmers. The Minister of Agriculture confirmed 59 millennial farmer ambassadors aged between 19 to 39 years old and 8 leading farmer ambassadors aged over 39 years old. The farmers' ambassadors came from various aspects of commodities such as food crops, plantations, livestock, and horticulture. Moreover, the Agriculture Ministry also provides agricultural extension workers who assist farmers to transfer agricultural innovations and information technology so that they can produce successful farmers. On the same occasion, Head of the Agricultural Extension and Human Resources Development Agency, Dedi Nur Samsi, explained, this inauguration aims to accelerate the regeneration of farmers by increasing the role of young generation in developing and advancing the agricultural sector to be more prospective and have export opportunities. Therefore, Nur Samsi considered that young farmers are needed to give contribution to the agricultural development renewal movements. The farmers' ambassadors are expected to be able to attract other millennials to be agricultural entrepreneurs. In addition, it is able to accelerate advocacy to the community, especially related to the ministry's programs, so that the program can be implemented quickly. Dedi asserted, in the face of COVID-19 outbreak, agriculture is the front line for preventing infection because it plays an important role to meet people's food necessities to maintain the body's immunity. On that occasion, there had also been established the management of the Millennial Farmers Ambassador Forum and the Leading Farmers Ambassadors Forum, as well as the Provincial Coordinator chaired by Sandi Okta Susila. That was My Indonesia.
Sejak pertama bertemu, terbayang senyum indah di matamu. Kau berikan tatapan cinta untukku, jatuh cinta, ku jatuh cinta. Rindu terasa mengancam dadaku, saat kau selalu hadir di mimpiku. Hati jiwaku selalu memanggilmu, kasihku. Ku cinta kau, ku cinta kau, hanya kamu di hatiku. Takkan pernah kan terganti sampai kau jadi milikku. Mengancam dadaku saat kau selalu hadir di mimpiku. Hati jiwaku selalu memanggilmu, kau kasihku. ku cinta kau, hanya kamu di hatiku. Takkan pernah kan terganti sampai kau jadi milikku. Jiwa ini, raga ini memanggil namamu. Kau tahu sejak pertama bertemu ku jatuh cinta.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I introduce you about wonder and story of Lake Tolire in North Maluku. Besides offering natural beauty, almost every lake in Indonesia also have many stories about the lake, such as angler and his caught in Lake Toba, North Sumatra as well as Pertapa and Dragon in Rawapening, Ambarawa, and Tujava. In today's segment of Indonesian Wonder, I present to you about a lake in eastern Indonesia with its interesting background story of forbidden love. However, behind that unique folklore, lake keeps a different charm and it is very interesting to visit. Likewise, Lake Tolire in Ternate, North Maluku, which is located at the valley of Mount Kamalama. Ternate Island is an island that has been famous for centuries because of its spices. The history of the emergence of Western colonialism was mainly because of its spices. In Ternate, there are also many attractions that must be visited, both historical tourism and natural charm. One of the natural beauty that become a tourist destination in Ternate is Lake Tolire. If you want to visit Lake Tolire, you have to visit first Ternate City in North Maluku. From Ternate, the distance is approximately 10 km south of the city to Lake Tolire. After traveling for about 20 minutes passing the seashore and hills, you will arrive at Lake Tolire. You don't need to worry, there are directions on the side of the road to Lake Tolire. According to the local people's belief, Lake Tolire was formed due to the wrath of Almighty God because of the forbidden love between a father and his daughter. Lake Tolire consists of two lakes, Lake Tolire Besar and Lake Tolire Kecil, which is only 200 meters away. Behind the folklore, Lake Toliri provides a unique tourism object besides the natural beauty along with living things around it. With its background of the active and beautiful Gamalama volcano, Lake Toliri Besar looks enchantment and exotic with turquoise green color seawater around it. Behind the beautiful panorama of the lake, visitors can also feel the mysterious city of the lake. It may be the effect of folklore about this lake. Moreover, there is a unique story of throwing a stone if we visit the Lake Toliri Besar. The position of the lake is more than 50 meters below. The visitors have to stand around 3 meters from the lip of the cliff above the lake. The story is that if we throw a stone to the lake, we will not be able to see the position of the stone, but someone else can see it. The green of the forest trees combined with the black color of the land from the effects of the eruption of Mount Gamalama and birdsong make the scenery and atmosphere on the Lake Toliri Besar more beautiful and charming. Until now, there has not anyone who examines how deep Lake Toliri is. But local people believe its depth is difficult to reach because it connects to the sea. Lake Toliri Besar also has a story about white crocodile that guards the presence and sustainability of the lake. While Lake Toliri Kecil, which is located approximately 200 meters from Lake Toliri Besar, is closer to the shoreline. The lake, just like a shrimp or fish pond on the edge of the beach, which is crowned by coconut trees and various species of trees around it. It is not too special if it is compared with Lake Toliri Besar. Listener, that's the end of Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you in another interesting topic. Goodbye.
because I love you, baby. Baby, I'm here for you, and you are for me. So come on, come on, baby. This one is for you. Terika janji berdua untuk segera bersua. Kau buat jantungku berdebar, nantikan rindu yang kan terbayar. Please believe me, I'll be by your side. Don't worry, don't worry, my darling.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miscellany. So stay tuned, Voice Listener, on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Miss Seleni. Today, we will inform you about Sirip Ikan, information system for potential fisheries by ITS students. So, stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. Indonesia's sea wealth is enormous, and its sea area reaches 2.3 million square kilometers. If managed properly, Indonesia can be independent in producing sea fish without importing from other countries. In this regard, the student of the 10 November Technology Institute, or ITS, Alfian Bimanjaya, tried to make a new breakthrough named the Fisheries Potential Information System, Sirip Ikan, in the international competition ESRI Young Sailors Award 2020 last month. He won two achievements at the same time. He successfully came out as runner-up, and he was favorite among the finalists. Sirip Ikan was made with the primary objective to provide geospatial information about the potential of fisheries to improve the effectiveness of fishing activities and fish distribution activities. In addition, Sirip Ikan also comes with several spatial analysis features such as proximity analysis, direction search route, and travel time, which are still rarely provided by other similar applications today. In making Sirip Ikan, Alfian used remote sensing technology, specifically the moderate resolution imaging spectral radiometer satellite imagery to determine the potential fishing zones. Geographic Information System, or GIS technology, is also used to analyze and present geospatial information on the distribution of potential fishing zones. Alfian explained that from the feature possessist, the use of sirip ikan can be used by not only fishermen as a supplier of captured fish, but also distributors and fish traders. The community as fish consumers can use this technology as well as the government as the party that takes the policy. Sirip ikan still needs a lot of development, especially in terms of data updating. At present, information on potential fishing zones is still available periodically on a monthly basis. In the future, sirip ikan can provide potential fishing zone information every week, even updated every day. That was Miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play a medley regional song from various regions in Indonesia, which will be sung by Indonesian young singer. The Summer Breezy featuring Five of Voice. A group of Indonesian youth show their love on Indonesia through six regional songs entitled Yamko Rambe Yamko Sajojo Manuk Dadali, Padang Bulan, Ayo Mama, and Gundul Gundul Pacul, which are rearranged in ethnical pop genre. Modern musical instruments such as guitar, keyboard, and ukulele are collaborated along with Indonesian traditional instruments such as angklung and kolintang. This creativity can make regional songs still be loved by Indonesian people. Well, listeners, here is The Summer Breezy featuring Five of Voice with the medley regional song in ethnical pop genre. Happy listening.
Indonesia.
boleh acuhkan diriku dan anggap ku tak ada. Tapi takkan merubah perasaanku kepadamu. Ku yakin pasti suatu saat semua akan terjadi.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.